Flag or NielsenRV.com.
America, drowning in information, starving for wisdom. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
When you come out and do your monologues, which are really based on what you've read, do you go home and worry about things? Do you worry about this country? Are there things that really bug you that you can't say in the air?
I think one of the dangers, if you are a comedian, which basically I am, if you start to take yourself too seriously, and start to comment on social issues, your sense of humor suffers somewhere. I've seen other people, whose names I won't mention, who do humor. And then somewhere along the line, they start to want to make their views known. I try to do it humorously. I try not to... And we've had some criticism on the show. Some critics over the years says, well, the show has no great sociological value. It's not controversial. It's not deep. The Tonight Show basically is to amuse people, to make them laugh.
Do you get sensitive about the fact that people say, he'll never take a serious controversy? Well, I have an answer to that. I said, now, tell me the last time that Jack Benny, Red Skelton, any comedian, used his show to do serious issues. That's not what I'm there for. Can't they see that?
But you're not...
Why do they think that just because you have a Tonight Show that you must deal in serious issues? That's a danger. It's a real danger. Once you start that, you start to get that self-important feeling that what you say has great import. And, you know, strangely enough, you could use that show as a forum. You could sway people. And I don't think you should as an entertainer.
Some truth. Johnny Carson, Barbara Walters.
Yep.
Yeah, Dan Rather.
Those days are over.
Yeah, wow. And you could really sway people. I think about that statement a lot.
Yep.
Really sway people. Yeah, they sure do. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Glad to have you back for this hour, and your Tuesday is almost done. Uncle Milty, welcome back. And we're just kind of talking about some things. It's kind of like the avocado story, you know, truth decay, how things sort of get switched up. And it's kind of like the avocado story being bigger than what's going across the border.
Of course.
Same kind of thing where, you know, let's talk about avocado demise. We talked about this yesterday for a blip. And it's like that's supposed to preempt the big story of people coming over with human trafficking, drugs, arms, you know, all those things.
All
you know,
those
it's all for the avocado. We all must be consumed with the idea of an avocado. It's that kind of public opinion sway. Let's get you excited about this. You know, let's get you up in arms about this.
And they always focus on a group.
Yeah, so true.
A couple days ago, you know, here's the line that it starts off with. A federal judge in Alaska has ruled an executive order by President Donald Trump allowing offshore drilling oil in tens of millions of acres of the Arctic Ocean is unlawful and invalid. Well, there's a lot of people that say, okay, well, we don't want oil spilling into the Arctic Ocean, so that's a good thing. But that's not what the judge ruled. The judge ruled, okay, in April of 2017, President Trump issued an executive order reversing three memoranda and one executive order by then-President B.O.
Barack Obama.
Or whatever. So he withdrew 125 million acres of the Arctic Ocean from oil leasing with his memoranda and executive order. He also prevented drilling in certain parts of the Atlantic Ocean. Well, the president, President Trump, wrote an executive order reversing those in April of 2017. Of course, there was a lawsuit. Anytime he does anything, there's a lawsuit. Well, everyone knows, or I thought everyone knew, that an executive order can be reversed by any succeeding president. It's an executive order. It's not legislation. But all of a sudden, this Obama-appointed judge
Just
ruled
decides
that Obama's executive order trumped Trump's. But it's all based on the fact that they're hoping that it's because people will like the idea that we can't drill for oil in the Arctic.
And ignore what's going on, the law,
the Constitution, that says an executive order can be reversed by the executive, any executive.
Interesting. I think, you know, with the executive orders, they're supposed to go through Congress, right?
And, right.
And they've, you know, obviously used and abused these through the years to promote legislation without anyone realizing it.
Of course.
Kind of the bait and switch of an executive order, which is kind of funny because Trump's actually done far less than the other presidents. But so far, I think, pretty sure on that. But this is, you know... There's always these little, we'll have to talk to Chrisanne about this too and bring this up as far as executive orders go, how far they can go and how far they can't go. But it seems to me there's been a lot of that where the judges stand in the way. The judges stand
constantly.
In the way.
And we've never seen that before like we're seeing it now. I mean, you never saw a judge rule against Obama.
Right.
Never. Never happened.
Yeah.
And here we are. And this is one of the reasons the president has so much trouble. And he didn't write an executive order doing something that the people didn't want or legislation that people didn't want. He wrote an executive order canceling a previous executive order.
Right.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, certainly. Certainly we'll take a harder look at it on Thursday. But you know, there. It's interesting when you get into precedent versus what we should be doing versus how the game is played now versus how it was played the last 100 years. I mean, it really is. And so when you start to point out how it's played now as opposed to the last 100 years, then you, of course, get the arguments, well, they shouldn't have done this and this and this and this. And it's so funny, the hypocrisy in that, too. Clearly comes out as well. And we're seeing a lot of that. So when people bring it up, it's as if we're not supposed to notice the hypocrisy. We're supposed to just sort of go, well, now, wait a minute. What is going on here? I always believe in standing we'll always be better off if we can stand up for what should be and what's the truth, right? And how it should go down. That's hands down, that's how it should always go. But it's really hard not to notice the hypocrisy of what's going on right now in the last couple of years. Really tough. And I think the second you even start to say anything about it at all, you're shot down for basically, you know, even noticing it in this day and time. But that's because the powers that be run the media, the powers that be are running things, clearly, as we can see. And so it's just hard not to notice. I don't know how to not notice it and not be alarmed by it. At the same time, you know, it's like so many things. I was talking the other day about Senator Hatch left office, right? And he was my state, and Senator Hatch leaves office, and now he's pushing legislation and pushing things through his foundation. They do that too. They'll push things through their foundation. Is that okay? No, he should be not involved at all. But they, you know, tend to do those kinds of things too. And so we'll talk about executive orders in more detail. I'll pull up some notes I've had on executive orders, and we'll talk about, you know, what should be, what's the truth, what direction should we go in on those. And these judges seem to give themselves a tremendous amount of power.
Oh, boy.
A tremendous amount of power, and use it politically as they're politically charged to use it. And that obviously is a huge problem that we're seeing over and over again. It's just politics. It's not the law anymore. It's politics.
That's right.
And that's where I think we've gotten into so much trouble. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Agreeing with what you're saying, is not just is it politics, and it's always feeding the party.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
back and forth, back and forth. And what drives me crazy is it's always going 180 with each new election. So what is really the problem? You know, it seems like the American people don't know what they want.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, if you don't know what you want, then anything goes, right?
That's true. And you'll be led by anything, especially if you don't understand
the proper role of government. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you'll be led by anything, too. You'll be led by emotion more than you will your intellect, reason,
right, exactly. You're going to be led by anybody because you don't know what they should be doing. If you don't know what the Constitution is, if you don't know what the premises, the presupposition of America is, you're like, oh, whatever. I guess he looks cool. She looks cool.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I have family members that are liberals, and it's like, oh, Oprah, I heard she's going to run for president. She should totally. I'm like, what? You know? Seriously, we don't even know what government's for. We don't even know. Like you're saying, you're talking about judges and presidents. Mm-hmm. This guy throws this guy this executive order, and they're always, you know, using the bait and switch. But Americans are so illiterate about all this.
Yeah.
They don't even know what they want.
Yeah.
Yep.
No, I actually agree with you. I do. We don't know.
Yeah, but I appreciate your show. I mean, it helps educate a little bit if people are willing to do it. So.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. Thanks a lot. That's the aim, right?
Yeah.
That's the aim.
And we have to pay attention. We just have to pay attention. There's an interesting thing going on with the Mueller report. And so the Democrats are screaming they want everything released, all the evidence, all the grand jury testimony, everything. Well, the Attorney General is saying, look, there's certain things by law that I have to redact. I mean, that's just the law. And the Democrats are saying, well, no, when Ken Starr was the special prosecutor.
Back in the 90s.
Back then, yeah. that when he released his report, he released everything. So we want the same thing from the Mueller report. Well, the problem is that after that, after Starr released his report, is when the legislation came along that said no. If you haven't filed charges against somebody, you can't release any dirt you might have found on them that's kind of irrelevant. You can't release grand jury testimony if there's no charges being filed. That was all put into effect by law after Starr.
Right.
And the Democrats are now saying, well, just ignore that. We want the same deal now. How does that, and how do we sit by and let that happen?
The hypocrisy of it all?
They were saying today, today's, they made the deadline. Today's the deadline for the Attorney General to release everything. Well, who gave them the authority to create deadlines for anything they want?
Well, the same nonsense that gave us Mueller and two years with a report at the end finally says... What we do 2 years ago? You mean that nonsense?
And I know none of these issues are simple. But if we don't pay attention, one of these days it's going to be a debate on how many people over 70 can we kill this month.
So true.
And we're not going to be able to stop it.
Oh, we're sliding the slippery slope. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Daly Show. Oh, truth decay. How things are changing. Truth decay is portrayed as something that sort of turns something inside out, right? And changes the narrative, and sometimes slightly and sometimes very powerfully, and how we consume it. And how it's very, very difficult to see through it. In fact, really, our era is this era right now that we're trying to get through is really about trying to disseminate truth.
Yeah.
Trying to find truth, is it not?
It is.
The propaganda load is so high. And then truth is spit out with little bits of, you know.
Well, it's almost.
Crap in there.
It's hidden.
It is.
The truth is hidden, and the falsehoods are made the primary spiel.
Yeah. Oh, so true. In fact, we were kind of laughing because the narrative of Biden, where is that story going? You know, this is a really easy one to see, is it not?
I think it is, but there seems to be a big debate about whether it is or not.
So we had a second accuser come out, and we've all seen, you know, the roll tape of Biden. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the creepiest things. It is. We call it Bidenized. Somebody stands behind you and pets you and smells your hair in the weirdest of ways, and somehow you're supposed to just think it's cute and endearing. Well, it's not. It's not cute and endearing. It's weird. And so this isn't about the Me Too movement that I can't stand. This is actually about the fact that that's just strange. Do you go up to people at work and stand behind them and pet them and play with their hair and smell their hair? And you're within like a centimeter of them? No. You have a personal space issue, right? And we all have it, right?
Right.
My personal space is huge. It's like, get out of my personal space. So the fact that Biden has been doing this and has been doing this in spades, okay, is noticeable. It's weird. It's strange. It's unwelcome. And it makes things very awkward, okay? And so where is this leading, though, is always the question you have to ask.
And why didn't it lead there sooner?
Yeah, right? Okay, so the second accuser came forward, and what was the second accuser's request? Because now somebody else is going, well, yeah, he's so awkward. Well, he made, you know, a Me Too movement, and, but not really Me Too because he's endearing.
Exactly.
But there's the big but. So what are they asking?
So the big but is this second woman, when really kind of interviewed and grilled about why why now?
Right.
And basically what she said was, and I don't have any exact quotes, but what she said was, well, I think if Biden really was is so favorable with what he feels about women advancing and women's equality, then he would just step aside.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, all the men should step aside.
Bingo.
And we should have a female-only Democratic primary.
There you go.
Female-only Democratic primary.
No.
May the best man win.
May the best man win.
So that's the goal.
It is the goal. It is the goal to make you so weary that men are all cads, right? And none of them deserve anything, that women should replace them, because then women can do it right. Is that, is that the new byline?
It. Better a fake Indian liar
than
a man.
Yeah. Because it makes all the difference, right? When a woman is taking away your liberty rather than a guy. You know what? We should have known that this would be the picked up mantra going into 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That it was going to be only women are capable. They're the only ones that are going to matter in this race, and that men should just step aside, including Trump, right? They're telling
Of course.
Because they're all cads. You know, feminism is going strong, and it has a pack of lies. And I think I told this story before. I was talking about being an anti-feminist and how it's corroding and where it comes from and how it, you know, it just didn't happen. And somebody had said, well, you need to stand on the shoulders of all those feminists because you're a talk show host. That didn't just happen, honey. You need to thank a feminist for who you are today. And my answer to that is who I am today was built on a lot of other things. Who I am today was built on what God built me to be, not what feminism built me to be. Feminism didn't help me in any way, nor could it, because my priority isn't there, because my gifts, my divine nature, my womanhood has really not a lot to do with my career. It has everything to do with the fact that I can't be replaced in my family, that my role can't be replaced. Women have been co-opted into thinking that if they can take every single role a man has, if they can oust men,
mm-hmm.
completely, that the world would be a better place. The world would be a very lonely place with a lot of angry women running around that I don't want to be a part of. Thank you very much. But this is the huge lie we're going to get told going into 2020. It has to be a woman to save the country. And it's the biggest lie. It is such a lie, because it doesn't matter. I just want somebody that understands the job. I don't care whether they have ovaries or not.
Well, also people need to understand this. Mm-hmm. This lie did not start in the United States of America.
Right, right.
This lie started in the United Nations.
Yeah, you're
the
right.
The United Nations says that one of their goal number five, is to achieve gender equality and empower all women and girls.
No, it's...
Well, You can't have both. Gender equality includes men.
It's male. It's eradicating males.
It isn't about equality.
And so as this mantra gets picked up and widely used, just beware of where that's heading, because it's not pretty.
No.
And I think that the more that we buy into that whole women power movement, It's a sad state of affairs because we're losing who we are. We're losing who men are. And I know we've had this conversation on the show before. I'm not going to belabor it. But I feel sad that that woman came out and that people were clamoring behind her to say, yes, that's exactly what we need. And it's almost as if they're making corrupt politics so fatigue worthy that people are buying into the notion that a woman somehow, some way, is going to be any different. Look at Hillary. Was that a case of anything you thought ever resulting? No, different in the most nefarious way. She's awful. She's 10 shades, 50 shades of awful. To me, evil. Do I dare say go that far? To me, evil. But people think in the hands of a woman. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And the other thing I don't get is this.
What's up?
In the UN goal, it lists 11 different things affecting women worldwide.
Okay.
That they want to get over with. They want to end them because of they want this gender issue. But of all those 11 things, none of them are happening to women in the United States.
Right.
They're all happening to women in the Middle East, in Africa.
Right.
In the West.
Yeah, you're right about that. And so they're out there.
So why is it an issue here?
I don't know.
The women already have these freedoms in the United States. They're not oppressed in the United States.
Nope.
They are in the rest of the world. I don't deny that.
Right.
But is that our job to change that?
No. It's silly. It's silly that this is getting women emotionally charged. And women are, like I said, they're clamoring to support this idea that all men should move aside. You know what's interesting about this argument, too, is that, or this that conversation, is nobody's asking for somebody that knows what they're doing.
No.
I looked through, not one. Nobody's asking for that. Nobody's saying who's right for the job.
If they did, if that was an issue, we want somebody right for the job, then that would kind of give credit to the president for knowing his job. See, they don't want that to be an issue because there's an argument to be made that President Trump is doing a good job.
Right.
So we don't want that to even be an issue because that brings good things in for Trump.
Right. You can't have that.
No.
You can't applaud anything he does. We have that memo, right?
No.
and we should be. We should be applauding anything anyone does when they're siding on the side of liberty and, you know, wanting to castrate them when they're not. That is America. Why aren't people in general, women and men, clamoring for the person that's right for the job, not a case for male versus female? As if your biology dictates what you know and how you revere the Constitution and what you know about legislation and government and politics. It's crazy to me to think that has anything to do with it.
Well, they don't even claim it does.
Yeah.
They don't stand up and say, I know this, and this because I'm a woman.
They
just say, vote for me because I'm a woman.
Right. It's like when somebody asked me about being a talk show host. Being a talk show host had nothing to do with being a woman. If I wasn't on the air tomorrow, I would be replaced by a man or a woman in this time slot, right?
Yep.
Either one. My being a woman doesn't have anything to do with that. It is so separated for me on case in point. It's like what I ate for breakfast this morning has nothing to do with what I'm talking about on the air today. It's so disassociated from anything that matters. What makes me as a woman special are the innate qualities I'm born with, the talents, the gifts I'm born with, the ability to nurture, the ability to do those things. And if I don't have a family or a husband, I still can nurture those around me. It's those qualities that's why I say God made me the woman. Feminism did nothing except rob me of the very things that make womanhood so beautiful, actually.
Now, be honest.
What's up?
Be honest. How many times since you've been doing the radio show have you been told, you know, you're really good, Kate, but we want a man there?
I haven't.
Never?
Nope.
I can't hardly
believe honestly
that.
Haven't been told that. I know. You would think I was told every day, right?
The way they act,
yes,
you'd think that.
You would.
Women aren't allowed to do that.
No, and it hasn't happened. And by now, we understand that a woman can do just as much damage as a man, and a man can do just as much damage to a woman.
Amen.
And a man can do just as much good as a woman, and a woman can do just as much good as a man. We have to get out of this polarized discussion and... You know, it's the only place that a lot of progressives want to go. It's the only place that a lot of people with very narrow tunnel vision can go.
Well, and we have to really understand the fact that these ideas are coming from outside of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They're not coming from within this country.
Yeah.
They're being pushed on us by people who have different ideals.
Yeah, that's very, very true. That's why if you go and read some of these UN documents, it's really eradicating men is really what it's about. It's very kind of bizarre.
If I was the president,
2030, mm-hmm.
That would be the first thing I'd do.
What?
Is get us out of the United Nations.
Yep.
Absolutely. Yep. No more funding. They're useless.
We've been funding it. We've been supporting it. We dreamed it. We wanted it. And it was there to erode the Constitution of the United States.
Yep.
That's the only purpose. People still to this day call it a peacekeeping. I want to laugh so hard and think, were you raised seriously underground in a tunnel somewhere? Do you not know that ever since the UN was installed, we've had nothing but peace? It has nothing to do with peace. Oh, good heavens. It has everything to do with everything else. We'll come back in just a few minutes. We'll welcome your calls, 888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. Truth decay. When you realize how many things have changed and how many things are different, how the narratives have changed, how the conversations are changed, pivoted, and the search for truth. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q. Oh, Susie Q. Baby, I love you. Susie Q.
Welcome back.
Like a wave.
Do you remember when we were all clamoring for, like, let's say, the first press secretary to be a woman?
No.
And we got one, and then everything changed? See, that's what I'm saying. It's this whole weird argument that we have to break some fantasy glass ceiling that once we do that, all will be right in the world. We're going to be sold this until 2020.
Sure.
That you were so behind the times. May's out there, you know, Germany's got there. We should have a woman in power that'll change everything. That'll restore something to this country. It has nothing to do with the restoration of liberty and everything to do with a lot of these women and the problems they bring in power, number one. See, women have a lot of gifts and talents. And women are great at multitasking. And women can be great leaders. And women can be great at so many things. And I don't think anyone here would deny them that and deny myself that, okay? It's just the box of rocks we're sold in America that everything is constantly about a glass ceiling and that the whole reason for being is to break the glass ceiling. Nancy Pelosi's worthless. She is worthless in her position. She's worthless as a legislator. She has been horrible for her district. She's been in since 87. She's never even had to campaign. Nobody will go up against her. She's bought and paid for. You know, 10 ways to Tuesday, okay? And all she'll talk about now is the glass ceiling, the glass ceiling, the glass ceiling, as if that was the biggest thing that she's done, and truly the only thing. And that's the only thing that's talked about with her, as to give her power. Has absolutely nothing to do with anything. Because once somebody does that, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, I can point to the UN and say, well, we have a head of the UN that's a woman. Okay, if you're a liberal, you think the UN's above America.
No.
So why the big push for America to have a woman president? Because they don't care if somebody's capable. They only care about chasing this fantasy weirdness about making sure a woman gets in there and all will be right, and it's completely the wrong narrative. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, Kate.
Hi there.
Just a thought. You know, the left is really good at changing the topic and distracting people from what they really should be talking about. So with this whole, you know, women, really the underlying, to me, what I see when they use that argument is they, and by using gender, they're making the argument invalid, because then they flip it around and they pull it, instead of reason, they flip it around to gender and they say, well, you can't understand that because you're white and you're male and you're religious and none of that pertains to the topic at hand.
You're exactly right.
And it's like,
right.
What in the world, why in the world would it matter whether you are male or female, because these rights are basic for everybody.
Yep.
But that seems to be the feminist war cry, and how they get out of every single argument is spinning it that way.
Yep, I totally
agree.
It's
like, you know what? Morality is morality. Good is good and evil is evil. And that's where the topic needs to go, not are you male or female or transgender,
right,
for crying out loud. It is basic.
Yep.
Morality.
I agree. Amen, sister. Thank you. I really appreciate you. Yes, she's right on the money.
Yep. And there's some interesting things about this. There was an article in Psychology Today a couple years ago.
You mean we're not just pulling this out of our rear
end? No. And there was a study done by Caprioli and Boyer. And here's one of the things they said. Female leaders who have risen to power through a male-dominated political environment may well need to be more aggressive than their male counterparts in a crisis.
So you were right when you said, let the best man win in the women race? Okay.
Yep. They also said, we don't just need more women in parliaments and legislatures, but also to live in societies that embrace more feminine values, so that women who succeed will feel less pressured to be more like men.
Oh, my gosh. You know,
so that does, I mean, women are, the successful women do become more like men.
Yeah.
Especially in politics.
Especially in politics. And honestly, our innate gifts are in so many great places. That's why what I'm saying is, if a woman really wanted to be president, okay. If they were right for the job and they were really good at checks and balances and understanding their power and yada, yada, yada. But the women that are rising through the levels of politics, it seems like the ones that are even able to get close to it, like a Hillary, is for anything but liberty, anything but freedom, and everything for communism and socialism. She's basically a package for that. Why is that?
Well,
and that's really the question you're posing is who's rising in the ranks and who gets close to those positions anyway, or not somebody I would want anyway. But
and the women in the United States that are rising in politics are using lies and manipulation to get there.
Mm.
Not truth, not knowledge,
right,
not constitution.
Right.
Manipulation and lies.
Right. Then you have your same level coming from the guys.
Yeah, but
that's why the silly argument that it has to be one sex, that it has anything to do with our sex. It has more to do with the job requirement. And that's what people are missing in this.
Sure.
I don't know. But I get your point, though. I do get your point, because there's certain things, tools in the toolbox that get used. I mean, look at the problems with Theresa May. Look at the problems with Germany. Look at the problems with New Zealand.
Uh-huh.
Look at some of these issues and some of these people at the head of these countries. And people are telling me here in America that really the only task at hand is to break the glass ceiling and all will feel joyous and okay.
Don't think so.
Nope, because nobody cares about the results, what's actually going to happen. And and so we're foregoing all of that for just a woman. That's why everybody that voted for Hillary was willing to vote for Hillary. They didn't like her. They did not like her. And it was proven over and over again by nobody showing up to any rally she was ever at. Nobody wanted to be within 10 feet of her, you know? the stories about she smells and her whole MO. Nobody wanted to be around Hillary. In fact, people had disdain for Hillary. So many. Yet they did it because she was a woman. It was like we're a tribe, and the leader of our tribe must go forth, even though we can't stand her. She's the one that has to go forth.
And she had the potential to win. So that drew them in, too.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, you don't see anybody ranting and raving how great Globuchar is. You know, she's even in it. What's she doing there?
Yeah.
Most people, even Democrats, don't even know who she is. So how come she's there? Just because she's a woman?
Yeah. It's as if we're on the emergency room and we're in the trauma room and we're worried about what the walls are painted. It's such a trivial matter that we are, our country is in a place where it's being eroded by the day. We can lose it. I mean, if it isn't lost already, we can still lose this. And we're worried in this country, and people have been so dumbed down to only focus on, well, does she have ovaries? Well, then good, part her in. I mean, that's to the point. I'm going, you got to be kidding me. We're in triage here. And does that even matter at this point? I don't care if we never have a woman president. We can't have politics save politics. I know this. Yeah. I know this. But at least fight for some people that can go in that know what they're doing.
Yes.
I mean, we're in that state. It's bad, you know? It's bad. I think there's a lot of people out there fighting. I think there's a lot of great things happening too right now. But I do worry. I do worry every day about some of the places that we're going. And I was talking to you, Milty, earlier about these new shows kind of parading relationships differently and families differently and all these things so differently. And they came out with this new he, she, she show. So it's a relationship between three people, and three people have to journey to make this new relationship work. And I'm going, you know, we've already kind of proven what works and what does not work. And you're trying to reinvent the wheel again, kind of like with the cities, kind of like the whole theme of today's show. We keep trying to reinvent the wheel. So the women have turned the relationship need into this. This is kind of how it goes. We should have more than one person in this relationship, and it probably should be a female, because that's what these shows are depicting. And they're depicting how romantic it is and how amazing it is, because the women are coming forward and they're going, well, I need somebody there as my sister. I need somebody there that's in with me and can support me. And I need somebody in there that understands me, because, of course, the cad guy won't. Right.
Men are terrible.
So it's the sisterhood. It's the sisterhood. And you'll hear this in a lot of different types of relationships. You know what I'm talking about? That sort of say, it was so nice to have somebody there with the children. And so the guy and I could go out on a date. Okay. So they sell themselves on this. And I kept thinking to myself when I was hearing this narrative, I kept thinking, but that's why you have friends. This is why you have neighbors. They're that role. They're not the intimate partner role. They are the neighbor role. They are the friend role. The sister you actually do have role. The family role. Maybe it's a cousin. That's that person that can come in and show you a little support. But you're in an intimate relationship with your spouse. Like, that's what that's supposed to be. But we're seeing all this convoluted nonsense coming out, trying to reinvent the wheel as if they're doing something spectacular in the name of progress.
Yeah.
It is weird.
Very.
Because I wanted to seriously throw things at my TV. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hey, remember when President Trump declared the emergency down at the border?
Uh-huh.
All those people in Washington were just screaming. They were calling him a liar and this, that, and the other thing, and, you know, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people saw that.
Yeah.
It's really getting out of hand.
Right. Yep. But caller, avocados. Just focus on the loss of avocados, please. You're not doing anybody any good if you focus on the actual huge, immense problem that we have coming across the border, the catch and release now because of what's coming across. Isn't that right?
They make my favorite guacamole sauce in Mexico. It's really good.
Right. I know which one it is.
Thank you.
Starts with an H.
You know what?
It really is good.
It's avocados, people. Refocus. See, they want you to refocus on everything that has nothing to do with the problem itself.
Yeah.
And there is a case for liberty, and it's not found in our biological parts downstairs. It's not found in anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
There's a border problem. It's not found in avocados.
But since the caller brought up the border problem,
yes,
wasn't it interesting that Jay Johnson came out in support of, yes, this is a crisis, and we need to do something about it?
Hmm. That is interesting. It makes me think twice, but yes.
Well, now I'm going, no, well, I mean, he... Even
he wanted the Border Patrol moved an hour away.
He was on Obama's team, but for the first time, he's actually saying, no, there's a real problem there.
That's interesting.
I saw the interview. Yeah, there was no other agenda there.
Okay.
He was saying there is a problem that needs to be fixed here.
We have, I'll give everybody the benefit of the doubt. We have Beto telling us the Electoral College is slavery now. They reverted to slavery because they know that's a good catchphrase that will interest you.
Yeah.
Also, the Convention of the States. Oh, we need that because nobody's abiding by the Constitution. Yeah, don't fault the people that are screwing it up and not abiding by it in our system that's plagued with corruption. No, it's the document that's perfect. Let's go back and rework that. So you have that nonsense. You also have the nonsense of let's wait on Roe versus Wade. So then we know we've arrived. It's kind of like waiting for them to be reversed. It's kind of like waiting for the media to finally tell the truth. You're not going to get it. The states have to have the power. All these things we discussed in today's show. All these lessons of find the decay because it's there, and then it's swept into the narrative so, I would have to say, so perfectly done by them. It's so perfectly done because it's hard to recognize where the truth is. There's a lot of people running around going, the Electoral College is about slaves, and we need to get rid of all of our statues and our history. We need to rewrite history, and we need to do all these things. All of these things are lost in what we're calling truth today. And it's ridiculous that we have got to get ahead of this thing. And in so many different ways, man, we could have brought up at least 20 more of the big, huge lies we're told.
Yeah.
Right? On each narrative?
We should hope.
Oh, my gosh. It is out of hand. And we need to do something. We need to do something. And what are we doing? We're inventing Spinach Day. Spinach Day. Well, you know, it's necessary. Spinach Day.
They really love this holding back money from the South American countries is not the way to go about this. Cutting off aid is not the way.
Really?
How can that be?
Because they just don't want to build it, and they want to have every excuse in the book. That's why they're going to take $1 billion to do 57 miles.
I'm sick of being lied to. That's the bottom line.
I know. I am too. I second that. Thank you, Uncle Milty. Be faithful. Be fearless. Melissa's off tomorrow. I'm jumping down the rabbit hole tomorrow to talk about something that's very real. Can't wait to get to it tomorrow. So please listen up. I'll be back tomorrow. Everybody have a great night.